erwischen im Fall.
Welcome back to another English episode of Parlando, the Opera Talk, with me, Bernhard Hanski, welcoming another great guest today. To name the highlights of today's guest is nearly impossible, since truly every single of her many performances are in the world's best venues singing the most outstanding repertoire. There's no opera temple where she did not appear. Wiener Staatsoper, Metropolitan Opera, Opera de Paris, Berlin, Barcelona, Zürich, Salzburg, Covent Garden and so many more. She's singing actively for more than 30 years now and still sounds and looks like in the beginning of her career. May it be as Figaro Contessa, Desdemona, Liu, Elisabetta or as nowadays the Cicci di Spina in Berlin's Così fan tutte at the Staatsoper. Critics praise her astonishing range of vocal colors and technique, and I'm more than happy to talk to one of Italian greatest sopranos, the fantastic soprano Barbara Frittoli.
Oh my God.
Thank you for finding the time to with me.
It was a pleasure. It is a pleasure.
I hope. You look back on an impressive career, which took and still take you to the biggest, greatest opera houses and festivals in the world. Is there still something you're dreaming of?
Oh, wow, there's a lot of new opera that I will sing in the future, and I'm very happy. One of these is La Forza, mm-hmm. and probably Fanciulla del West.
Wow.
Yeah, there's many theaters that ask me, Tosca ask me a lot of Puccini, but I don't think it's really...
So we will never get a Frittoli Tosca?
No, I did it once. Uh-huh. In Verbier was a concert, a semi-stage Tosca, something strange. But we get only 3 days rehearsal. It was my first Tosca, so I was a little scared.
Of course, for a reason.
Was not bad, but I think could be better because I need to rehearse. I like to rehearse.
Yeah, you like?
I need to practice. Yes, of course. I think it's the base of everything because if you want to sing well, you really had to practice. You had to find the colors, understand the text. And you need to have the time to, how do you say, to digest the opera. No? And you know it because you are a singer. So
you're not one of those singers arriving 2 days before the show?
No. But you know, my debut in La Scala, I did it studying an opera in 4 days. Agnese in Beatrice di Tenda. They called me 4 days before the performance and said, "Do you know Beatrice di Tenda?" And I just came back from Vienna. Mm-hmm. I was tired and I was saying, "I don't know. No, what is Donizetti from? No, Bellini. Oh, I'm sorry." Well, maybe I heard the name, but you know, there's many Donizetti operas with Bel Canto.
One of many queens.
Donizetti, maybe. Bellini. Okay, I'm sorry. But could you please come in La Scala? Because I living on the Lago Maggiore. I'm still living there. And Milano is 40 minutes less also with the highway. Okay, I'll take your DAT, you know, the recording things, and we want you to listen to a role in this opera. Okay, so I get back, I took my car, and la la la, like this, very quiet. And they give me these things. Okay, listen to this lady, to the Agnese. Okay. And I say, but probably it's for the next year they want to do. Okay. So I record it. But I record the part. Okay. So I did it because I was very young. And then at the end they asked me, could you sing it? I said, yeah, of course I can. But okay, in 4 days? And so I said, yes, of course, why not? And then I remember going out of the stage door and thinking, are you crazy? You are really stupid. You said yes. Do you really say yes?
To your La Scala debut.
And it was Marcello Viotti conducting.
Wow. And how do you remember this first time singing at this very special theater?
I remember being behind the stage because Agnese just sing one little aria at the beginning outside, mm-hmm. not on stage. And I remember there was my aunt sitting on the floor because the Scala was completely full, and my parents were in the audience, but my aunt has no tickets, and they say, okay, she can come with you. So she sat on the floor and she was looking at me like this. And I sang, and then I get up in on the stage, but the stage was closed, and they gave me a lute, you know, the baroque guitar. And I remember when the curtain gets up, I look at the Scala and say, God, I'm really here. This is a dream or a nightmare. Yeah. We will see at the end. But and then...
I mean, I can imagine, especially for an Italian soprano.
Especially for from a soprano from Milano.
From Milano. You are born in Milano. I mean, this must have been everything. Like, if the world crashes the day after, it was fine.
Yeah, could you imagine? And I would say, wow, you are very smart or very stupid.
But since it was the first time out of many after, it was a big success for you.
Yes, it was good.
And the next thing was the Verdi Requiem with Muti, right?
You know, I don't remember.
Could you imagine?
Yeah, okay. So I believe you.
And then the first maybe like planned opera was Le Nozze di Figaro already.
I think Nozze, but I did many things there.
Yeah. So tell us about how is it to be born, to live in Milano. I mean, the city of arts and music. You grow up in all this environment. Mm-hmm. How did it influence you as a person, as a musician?
As a musician, nothing.
No?
No, because Milano is a wonderful city. Of course, many people, if they come in Italy, they come to Milan just for the fashion, for the fashion shop and all these things. Well, we have a lot of nice things to see, a lot of nice museum. Of course, we have La Scala, we have many things. We have the Leonardo da Vinci.
Of course,
you know, things,
yeah.
So. But is considered as a normal city. Uh-huh. And nobody in my family were musician. Mm-hmm. Nobody.
You're the very first one.
I'm the black sheep of the family. So, and I remember once I said, well, I would like to play piano. It would be nice to play piano. And I was 8 years old. Mm-hmm. Because I had a little, you know, this electric piano. And I heard my parents, Saturday and Sunday, they have this, it was not the radio, this filo diffusione, mm-hmm. was a special things that connect to all the words. And they just listen to classical music. And so, and I start playing something, and I say, well, it would be nice to play piano. And we lived like 500 meters from the conservatorio, mm-hmm. Giuseppe Verdi. And so my mother say, well, why don't we try to get in? Because there was an examination, but I didn't know even the notes, nothing. They say, how many are the notes? Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, si, do. No, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, si, and do. I say, why not the do? But not because the do is repeating. Oh, really? Like that, completely,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But they took me. And from there, I start.
But just the piano. It was not...
Just the piano. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, you know, as you know, in the conservatorio, then you had to do chorus and a lot of solfeggio. Mm-hmm. Solfeggio, but chorus. We have esercitazioni corali that you had to do.
Yeah.
It's something that you cannot avoid because honestly, if not, they get in the room, they take it by the ears and take it to the chorus because you had to do it.
But not bad, I mean.
Huh? No, exactly. Yeah. And they started listening to me. I was 12 years old, and Bruno Casoni, that was the chief of the chorus for many years now in La Scala, he retired this year.
Uh-huh.
This year or the last year, I don't remember. He listened to me and say, okay, you need to be a singer, to sing. And I say, no way. Because singers are all stupid.
Of course.
And so I will not do it because I'm a musician. I was 12. A real one. Oh, my God. And he phone in my house for 5 years, every month, asking to my parents to tell me to go to do the examination for to be a singer.
So he was so sure that
yes,
possible.
And I say, no way. My mother asked me, do you want to go? And I say, no, no, I will not go. At the end, I went when I was 17. I say, okay, okay, I go. Guys, okay. They will listen to me and say, okay, please, could you please go out and do something else and go cooking or, you know. And they took me. And I was destroyed, desperate.
Really?
Desperate. Because you know, piano, you have so many things to do, to study, and all the other, you know, the other, how do you say, teori solfeggio, storia della musica, armonia, many things. And then with the canto, I had other. And I was doing the classical study, you know, liceo classico also. So I was... I had so many things.
You still dreamed of being a great pianist?
No, absolutely no. I liked to play, but I didn't even think to do a career in the music. This is incredible, no?
Yeah.
Because nobody in my family was a musician. So for me, it was a new world.
You had no idol.
Absolutely not. I didn't know anybody.
Yeah. So did you have any other dreams for a profession outside of music, like becoming a baker? Or?
No. now you will laugh. In my family, there were many, many people in the army. So my idea, it was to go in the army, but at that time, it was not possible for women.
Okay.
So when I was 18, I was destroyed too because I saw that I cannot get in.
Yeah. So this was your dream. Interesting.
It was my dream.
La fille du régiment.
Well, then I did parachuting and I did many things by myself.
To fulfill your dream somehow.
I love it and I shoot with every weapon I can.
So you're a dangerous woman.
No, I'm not. Absolutely not. I never went hunting or something like that. No. I shoot to a target or something like that. But I really love it because it was something normal in my family. You know, so.
Impressive. So you never went to the opera before to enjoy, to get inspiration? It was just out of your mind?
Completely no. It's big, huge no. Capital letters, no. And you know when I did my first singing lessons, it was very funny because the teacher then say, okay, from the next time, could you please come with Mi chiamano Mimi?
Yeah.
And I say, okay, which opera is say Bohème. Ah, and who wrote it? No, you don't know it. Oh, you cannot. You don't know it. I said, I don't know it. I don't know anything.
Oh.
So you learned by doing.
See, of course.
And it worked. I mean, let's look on your career. It worked.
Incredible. This is very incredible. I never really thought to arrive where I arrived at the end.
But when was the point where you accepted it, where you said, okay, I'm made for this profession. There's no way out.
Okay. Now, this is another shocking thing I had to say. Because at the beginning, it was very funny because I start singing in a chorus with it because Bruno Casoni, mm-hmm, of course, mm-hmm, called me everything in this little chorus to Pomeriggi Musicali di Milano, etc. And because my family was not a wealthy family, mm-hmm, at all, mm-hmm, I saw that I can earn money. And I say, oh, and it's funny. And it's fun. It's good. Why not? And then I start listening to music and say, wow, but it's really nice. I like this. I like that. Yeah. And it became a real love for music and for the singing. But without, and this, believe me, I'm not joking, without thinking of a career.
Yeah.
And when they come, do you want to do that? I say, oh, why not? Nice. Why not? And I say, well, I had some money also to, you know. Because it was difficult. The first years, I remember, when then we moved on the Lago Maggiore, mm-hmm, because we lived in the center of Milano. Then my father lost the work. So we moved and we were on the Lago Maggiore in a little town. Yeah. And it was difficult for me even to eat when I was studying, because I have to say that I was very slim. I was very nice. I was not eating so much, but it's okay.
It was normal. Nice, yeah.
But it was normal.
Yeah, you accepted it.
Because it was like that. So this is why for me it was good to say, wow, I can just earn some money, and I can buy maybe two sandwiches instead of one.
Oh my God, imagine.
It's not bad.
Imagine. Yeah.
No, but I'm not saying just to say, oh, poor girl.
No,
it was normal because our family was like that. We didn't have so much.
But impressive money, that's it. Also that the music really like choose you.
Exactly. Yeah. And then after a while I say, wow, but it's really nice. And then they give me something in the opera. I say, are you sure? Mm. I was completely, wow, an opera.
Yeah.
Really?
And then you studied with a quite famous teacher, with Giovanna Canetti.
Giovanna Canetti, fantastic.
How do you remember working with her? What did she give
you? I'm still working sometimes with her. Yes,
wow.
Of course.
Wow.
But not very much because I'm always around, so it's very
difficult. And you also kind of know what to do, but...
No,
but... you still go for a checkup, yeah?
But you know, I had some problems some years ago, maybe 7-8 years ago, mm-hmm, because I get divorced, and you, mm-hmm, know when the mind and the heart is somewhere else, singing, because sometimes say my music helps you, and I say no because
depends
it was
on the
yeah
person,
exactly for me it was not possible to concentrate, so I had a lot of problem, and I get back to her and I say, okay, treat me like I never sang in my life, and we start from the beginning. And now it's okay, but I did it.
But you really did a break when this happened, like I cannot go on stage, or you tried to go on?
I tried, and then I said it's better to stop a moment because and try to understand what's happening, because I was really not in myself.
Yeah. So this was not really a vocal crisis, but a personal one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. And it's they are the most terrible.
Yeah.
Because then you lost you don't trust in yourself anymore. You are scared.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Because in your life is, you know, I have also a daughter.
Yeah.
And it was difficult.
Of course.
But it was necessary to do it.
Yeah.
I decide to break my marriage.
Yeah.
And was but I didn't expect this the fire back. You know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah. And it took long for you to recover?
I think so. Yeah, it was long.
But you got through this, amazing.
Yes, because I didn't expect to do anything. Mm-hmm. For me, it was just, I go and I do my job, I do the best I can, and that's it.
Yeah.
Happened what it, I don't care what's happening.
We can't do more.
I never, you know, for maybe 20 years from the beginning, I never read a critique.
Never, ever.
Never. And I, for 15 years, I never give interviews.
Wow, lucky me to have you.
No, no, for many years, really, because I said, I don't care that people need to know something about me. Yeah. They just come if they like it. It's okay. That's it. And I don't need... Now I say these things because...
No, I think it's so, first of all, it's great that you're sharing these stories. And also second, I think it's very helpful for young singers also to understand that a career is not always shiny and glamour.
No,
and
absolutely.
Red carpet, that also you are just a normal person dealing with normal average problems.
And I try always to avoid the red carpets, actually, a lot.
Yeah.
Because for me, theater was work and I didn't want to change as a person. And it's very funny because I just work. I was in Oman and did a concert and I saw the first conductor who conducted me in Vienna. The Lattenkönig. And we saw each other after 30 years. He looked at me and you didn't change? What's happening? Not only,
physically.
Aesthetically,
yeah,
but for the voice, the same. It's and you are the same person.
Yeah. And this is maybe normal, the most important.
Normal and funny. And always.
I mean, this is the best compliment one can tell you. Like, you didn't change.
And I think also, especially for the character, because if you lost yourself in this... you know, trying to be somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we are on stage, we are somebody else already.
Of course,
and this is the fun. But then when you get out of the theater, you know, get down to the from the stage, you have to be yourself,
you
to live your life.
Yeah.
Because if you just live to sing, I think it's not healthy.
Yeah. So also for you, it was always clear you want to have a family. There is not only career.
Actually, another thing I didn't think about was a family. I mean, happens to find a person and I say, okay. He asked me, why don't we do a baby? I say, oh, why not? Okay. Because I say it wasn't the right moment. I was 29 years old.
Yeah.
I say, well, if I weigh too much. And everybody say, no, don't do it now because you had to do Don Giovanni with Abbado. And I canceled. I say, who cares?
Yeah, who cares?
Who cares? I mean, if he wants me again, okay, I'm there. He can call me. And he did it.
And he did,
Okay. Live your life. This, of course, I think, is the most important things I say to the young people, also to my students, because now I'm teaching too.
Yeah, I know.
And I say, listen, if it goes, it goes. It's not sure that everybody will go on stage.
Mm-hmm.
So don't cut your roots
just
to be a singer. I mean, you have to do the best you can. But, you know, sometimes there's something that doesn't work. Also, if you have the voice.
Yeah.
So just try to be, you know, with the feet well anchored to the floor, to the ground. Because it's very important. Because you can lose your mind.
Yeah. Oh.
And I saw many people trying so hard. And I say, why are you so crazy about that? I mean, I sing and I like it. This is the most important thing for me.
That you are happy as well, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because if I'm not happy, this is why when I had problems, I say, okay, stop. Stop, calm down. And if I can manage to regain my voice, okay. If not, I stop.
And it will be fine.
I don't care.
Then
yeah, exactly.
Like yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares? It's my life.
Right. I think this is the best... what you can do. Yeah. And also because there will be this point for every singer where the career ends.
Yeah.
But your life goes on.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I saw many people that want to die on stage. I say, no, don't do it.
It's the
don't
worst.
Yeah, exactly. I say, meow.
Yeah.
No.
May it be in the most beautiful costume ever, but no.
You know, I love to be on stage. I love singing, but not... as is the only thing in my life.
But you said about how you didn't change. This is also impressive to me. Yesterday we watched your Così fan tutte DVD, Fior di Ligi from Vienna. I think it was 1996. And we were both like,
Well, age 96, I was pregnant.
Ah, it was it. Ah, okay. Maybe that's why you were glowing and had this beauty. But it was like, wow, she really didn't change vocally. And she looks the same. Mm. What do you do for your...
Thank you. I will pay some.
We do later. No, but how do you keep yourself in that freshness? What do you do vocally, physically? Is there anything you can share with us not so lucky people?
I think is something from the family, probably, because also my father is 87 now. Mm-hmm. Doesn't look 87.
Wow.
My mother is 84. It doesn't look 84. My brother is almost 60. And I mean, we are...
You're just lucky.
Yeah, I think so.
So no yoga or special treatments?
Oh, my God. And I love to eat. Of course, now I had to be careful because, of course... With the age, something changed,
of course.
So I had to be a little more careful, but
you're Italian, you love, I think, good food and wine,
you know, in my family, nobody drink.
Okay.
So I'm not very, I'm a cheap date, they said in America, If I just have a glass of wine and then I had to go to sleep for almost half an hour because I lost my mind completely. Yeah.
So let's go back on stage. When I had a research, I found out that your very first stage moment was in 1989 in Firenze, singing a pretty unknown opera called Il Gioco del Barone by, I think, Valentino Bucchi.
Mamma mia.
So tell us about this project and how
it's... But there's nothing to say. No, if you see the Gioco del Barone, Valentino Bucchi, somewhere, don't go. don't. Please remember that.
It's not worth it,
Bah, no. Because it's half recitato and half singing, and I was the zingana, was like a gypsy. But it was
terrible.
Oh my God, it was terrible. But you know, there Bartoletti, Bruno Bartoletti, heard me because we were in Firenze, and so he come to listen to me, and then he gave me Ines in Trovatore with Pavarotti.
Already shared the stage with Luciano Pavarotti.
Luciano Pavarotti.
So how was that? I mean, even if you're not maybe...
About Ines was nothing.
Ines was nothing, but of course you know about who is Luciano Pavarotti.
Yes. I always treat the people in the same way. Yeah. I'm not fascinated about people with power. Mm. I was never like that. Also, same is from my family. They say... Well, treat people with respect. Respect people that respect you.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Doesn't matter the background.
No, it doesn't matter because they can be good people. There has to be good people.
Yeah. This is most important.
So I was not so thrilled.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, then I heard him singing and I was astonished. You know, my jaw just fell down. But I never had these things. Oh my God, I'm singing with like this. No,
okay.
I say okay. I do. I had to do my best. Also, if I'm just singing.
Yeah, helpful. I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
That you're not losing your mind. And oh, I'm too nervous because it's that conductor. It's that singer. Good for you.
Never. Yeah. Never. Yeah. I'm a little strange, probably.
No, sorry. I mean it's so beautiful. Normal, I would call it. Yeah, it's so refreshing to hear.
The question is that if you want to do something good, you have to think, you have to study, you have to be there with your head, and have a light head for something is never good.
Yeah.
For anything, I think in any job, you have to be like that. And I treated Maestro Pavarotti and the people who build the stage in the same way.
Beautiful. Yeah, I think that's the only way. because you work with all of them together.
Exactly.
And also
exactly.
the people backstage are as important as the people on stage.
This is what I think.
Yeah.
We are a big machine.
Oof, yeah.
Okay, we are the one who are
We present it.
But we have to remember that if without the people who build the stage, without the people who clean the stage,
right.
without the chorus, without everything,
right.
you know, the, right. the tailors, that the people who did the costume, who helps you or did your hair.
Yeah. They work as much as we do, and most of the time they are
paid much more or less.
Yeah.
Of course.
I think also it's important to show them the respect. Yeah.
Beautiful.
So you immediately conquered the world after your debut in Italy. From 92 on, you sang also in the US, making your Met debut in 95, singing Micaela.
Yes.
How do you deal with the exhausting life it sometimes can be of an international opera singer, like traveling, taking the airplane, living in hotels?
I was so happy.
You love that. You still love it, yeah?
But you know why? Because I never really traveled, because my family never traveled.
You had not a chance. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
we had no chance.
Yeah.
So for me to go away was something fantastic. Yeah. So, and I, the only thing that I was always alone, the first time in New York, I stayed for 2 months. Because I did Micaela and then I did Mimi, the same in these 2 months. And I remember I cried every evening for 2 months.
You were lonely. Yeah.
I was completely lonely and I was not, it was something very different for me. You know, because in Europe you can be, you know, there. But in New York, was, you know, the smells were different.
Yeah.
People were different. These huge skyscrapers and no history.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the only thing for me to relax in New York was when I had time, I took my scores, I took my books, and I went to the Metropolitan Museum.
Yeah.
I look around for a while, and then I sit somewhere and start studying with all these ancient things around me.
Beautiful.
I want to stay there.
Yeah, yeah. So this is something in general you do when you are in a new city. You check out the museums, you check out the history.
Yeah, the first time.
Yeah.
And that's it. But the most important, but then, you know, when you grow up, of course, you changed.
Yeah.
Because I saw many, many things and I'm happy.
You're full.
I'm full. Yeah, exactly. And actually now I prefer to read.
Yeah.
I don't have a television in my house. It's maybe 20 years I don't have television.
Wow.
So I don't look at television.
Yeah. So now you cook probably?
I cook, yes. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
My God.
Italian.
I can do everything. Just name it.
Yeah.
And I do it.
Great.
But just because I think, you know, this, I don't like how this world is evolving. This is why I decided to trash my TV.
Yeah. But you never had enough of your profession? Like, it's too much traveling, it's too much work?
No, when I had problem, yes.
Yeah.
Of course, and I say, no, I cannot do it in this in this situation. I had to stop. But now, if it's fine, I do it.
Normally you enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now there's other problems because my parents are old, so they are ill, as I think everybody at my age have the same problem now.
You have to take care for them.
Muti,
Meta, Abado, Chahi, Mazel, Davis, Barenboim.
Mekaris,
of course.
Colin
the great Mozart conductor.
Andrew Davis. And a lot of people.
You're working with all the great maestros of our time. Some of them already died. Which ones had the most impact on you, on your singing, on your developing as a musician?
Muti, of course. Muti. Si.
What made him that special? I mean, if you would explain to someone like me who never worked with him, what was the main thing about working with Muti?
But the good thing of Muti, first of all, is Italian.
Mm-hmm.
He's from Naples, and Naples has a very big history, historical, also music history, very important. And a lot of people, I know that when somebody say, "Ah, oh, it's coming from Naples," it seems, you know, crazy people always screaming and all this. And there's people like that, but also in Milano, actually, it's not only in Naples. A lot of people there are very culturally very well prepared.
They have a background,
a lot, cultural background. Yeah, but they like to study. If you speak with somebody who knows, is from Naples and he studied, it's always something amazing. So Muti for me is still the, I cannot say, but the most biggest, fantastic Italian conductor of this age for me. And the way he prepare you as it was done maybe 50 years ago. Same thing that Tullio Serafin did, like with Callas, you know. In the old school way. Because I sang also with Abbado, but Abbado, it was magic. But
like in the moment.
In the moment, because he never prepared. I remember when I did my my debut with him in Otello. I remember I was waiting him to say something, and I was singing, and then he stopped. Okay, wait. Signed something on the, put something on paper, and say, "Do you want me to change it?" "No, no, no, I'm just fixing. You want it like this?" And I say, "Oh my God, wow." So I was not sure. Oh my God, I had to think a little better what I'm doing.
Because he will keep
it. Because, and then when he was conducting, he look at you and do something with your hand, and you're like a serpent in now with the people. Like this. It was something magic happened, and then you follow him.
Thank you.
with Muti is very nice, because when you rehearse with Muti, he explains you each word is each things. For example, in Così fan tutte, we spent hours with him, and he explained everything historically.
Yeah, wow.
Because the opera is supposed to be in Naples. Mm-hmm, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and it was magic.
Ah, this is really special.
It was magic. And when I debuted my Così fan tutte, and Muti was conducting, the director was De Simone.
Mm-hmm. Was it a Vienna production?
Was a Vienna production. Yeah. And De Simone is from Naples too. Yeah, yeah. And I remember we didn't go on stage for 15 days. We just did recits.
Wow. But it's important. Huh?
15 days.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, Da Ponte, Mozart, recits.
Exactly.
It's about details, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Wow. It's really theater in the theater. Yeah. So,
did you ever explore an experience like that after, like that directors or conductors work like that, or is it gone, this way of working?
Another conductor who do these things is Gian Andrea Noseda, for example.
Mm-hmm. Who's that?
Yeah.
Prepared.
See. Si.
Yeah.
Si.
Yeah. But it's a pity. I mean, that most of the time things like that didn't happen anymore to us singers. Because also it's from what I hear from the old school technique, how the singers prepared. But sometimes I have the feeling this kind of method is gone.
This is a pity.
Yeah. Because I see singers, they're rushing from one role to another, and it's more important to have the career, to look beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. This is a problem. This is what I said. Effort. This is why I grew up in this work, also not thinking about what the people normally do now. Yeah. And they're just collecting money. I had friends, they say, oh, listen to this, singing the, so it was Don Giovanni, I don't want to say who is. Mm. I say, oh, this is this singer, and now this is me, what do you think? I say, but who cares? You're singing in your way, and the other one are singing in the other ways.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't care. I mean, if I'm friend with everybody, for example, and I remember I was the only soprano invited to Maria Guglielmina last, if it's the last, I know, I lost a marriage of her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was invited. And they say, are you invited to that? Yes, why? Because I don't care. I don't have...
Concurrence is not a
I don't
topic
care.
For you.
No. I mean, nobody can be me.
Yeah, true, true.
Not because I'm the best, but because it,
me is
me. You're
the best of yourself, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, so... Yeah. This is why also another thing that is not good for the young people is to think that they can be better or they are better than somebody else.
Yeah, yeah.
Do better for you. Think about you, what you are singing. Study in the right way.
Right. Otherwise, I think it's killing the arts. Yeah?
Exactly. Yeah. We are working with something, with operas that have 300 years,
right.
200 years. 100 years.
Yeah. We are not the genius.
The genius is the one. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you have to know the score, you know, by heart immediately. You have to know everything. You have to know the part, the roles of everybody else.
Wow, it's you much know? Work, but it's worth it.
But this is the way you had to work. I mean, if you build planes, I mean, or something like that, you need to know everything. Why with the music you had to do, to know just your part and that's it. Come on.
Yeah. Or like the doctor is doing a surgery on the heart. He also has to know what's around it.
No,
what
the
he
one,
can
no,
destroy,
who cares? What is a vein here? Okay, you can throw it away. No, you have to know everything.
That's
if you want
you
to do
compare.
It in the right way.
Of course. Yeah.
Then you can do what you want.
Yeah, yeah,
I mean, I stop. I'm teaching now. If somebody comes to me, I say, okay, are you doing my way?
Yeah.
And I'm very funny when I teach. I love to laugh. I'm not. I'm very. I pretend very much from my students, but I never do it. You know, with the
hard way.
In the hard way, because I hate it. I think the people has to be very relaxed and sing in the most beautiful way they can.
You know, Mirella Freni.
No, no. And she was one of my best.
I wanted to ask, I mean, we already said when you were young, you never had like big singing idols. But after you found out you're a singer and you love to sing and it's your profession, who are your idols?
My idols was Mirella Freni.
Freni, yeah.
Because was, I think, for me, the most similar voice. No, we don't have similar voice at all. And I remember when I was, I think I was 12, I don't remember when, or 11, the first time in Italy you can see an opera on direct from the theater.
The live streaming.
Live streaming. Mm-hmm. Was an Otello from La Scala in Italy with Domingo, Freni, Cappuccilli.
Probably.
No, quell'altro. The one who has also the father conducting.
Kleiber.
Kleiber. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah. Sorry, I completely bore. I'm a soprano, come on. You know, the brain is what it is.
Come on.
And I remember at all nights, I dreamed to be Desdemona.
Yeah, this was your dream role, yeah, after that.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah.
And it was Mirella Freni.
Mm. Yeah, she's magical, yeah.
And I think it was something amazing because all the family, we went to my aunt's house. They had a very big, huge villa and we went there and we had all the family look at this opera and it was amazing. And I remember this blonde, she was blonde. And then, of course, there was Cappuccilli, was amazing, and Domingo. Mm-hmm. And I remember I told to Domingo when I said, you know, that night I was dreaming about this opera when I was 11.
Yeah, wow.
And then when I did it with him, I say, wow, I never thought that I will arrive here singing with you.
So this was even for you as a relaxed person,
that
this
one was special because that moment, that the connection and that dreams.
It's always when you connect to something from the childhood, it's
amazing.
It's magic, huh? And you cannot believe yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one was really touched me a lot because it was something unbelievable for me, really.
Do you like traditional stagings like that?
See.
So what do you think about how the regie developed over the years? I mean, I can imagine you did all kind of productions very old-fashioned to like, it could have been on the street here in Berlin 2022.
Yeah. Well, now we are in 2022, so I understand that now is a lost battle. What I did it for many years, I tried to go against that. But I understand also that part of the fascination for me to be on stage is also to be in another skin, the skin of somebody else. So also, you know, the costume and something. And also I think that for the people, this is just my way to think. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to, because you see, I'm just working now in this, because Fantutti is very more modern than this. I mean, come on. So I can do it. Yeah. And it's also funny.
Yeah, yeah.
At the beginning, I was really, not now, but many years ago, I was really
fighting also,
and fight these things.
But was there a point, maybe with the director, where you said, no, stop, I have to pull out of the production?
Oh, see. You did? It was in Munich. In Munich, I had my debut in Luisa Miller, supposed to have it. I went to with the Prinzregenten Theater.
Prinzregenten Theater, yeah.
So I went there. There was me and Vincenzo La Scola singing. We did the rehearsal, and the staging was something. You know, at the beginning, Ti desta Luisa, Regina di Cor, and I was going out with just a shirt. And I just say, do an intimate bath on stage.
Wow.
You're supposed to do something like that. Yeah. And I look at you and say, are you crazy? I mean, I cannot do that. So, and I say, well, there was this problem. I said, no. Listen, you give me like a towel or something like this, and maybe I can drink a coffee. Yeah. I mean, it's the morning.
Yeah.
Why I had to clean myself, you know? And, it was something like that.
Yeah.
And after 10 days rehearsal, I remember, and I was always saying, no, my skirt has to be long, and I cannot do this, I cannot do that. And there was like a rape from but was really, yeah. I mean, so explicit. And then I say, no, I cannot do that. And so this girl that was doing the director, but because the director died a year before, she just screamed in my face. I say, stop it.
Really,
you had to do this and that's it. Stop talking.
Wow.
Oh,
wow.
I said, okay. I just shut up immediately. Then I took Vincenzo. I say, you know, I'm leaving tomorrow. And he say, you know, I'm leaving too.
You both.
So we both left.
Wow.
And I say, tomorrow is at 11, the rehearsal. Okay, at 11. I mean, in the night I just left.
Yeah.
And I arrived home and I wrote a letter.
Yeah.
And Lorin Maazel supposed to conduct, but he was not there.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote 4 pages letters saying that I feel offended as a person,
yeah.
as a singer, as a woman,
yeah.
and as a musician about that.
Yeah.
And I say, I'm home. If you want to do this opera, you do in concert. If not, I'm not coming. And then Lorin Maazel called me, explained me, and I explained everything. I said, Maestro, I'm sorry. I'm not the one. Why don't you take maybe a youngest? I was already young, but take another people that love to do this kind of thing on stage. I cannot do it. It's my debut. No, it's something really...
Just feels wrong.
No, feels wrong. And I cannot do it with this... to hate something and try to sing, you cannot do it.
It's impossible.
And so he say, okay, you are right. And we do it in concert.
Really?
And we did it.
Wow.
And then and it was the years of Verdi, you know. And they is supposed to go to La Scala, this opera.
This production.
And I call Carlo Fontana at that time. I say, Carlo, Barbara, we are waiting for you. I say, yeah. But probably I will not come because I'm not sure that if I will do this opera there, but for sure I will not do it in La Scala, because you have to be careful, because I think they will, the people were there, will take the chairs and they will throw it.
You're
they will
forever,
throw it on stage, not on me, but because the production is something that is really unbelievable. And so also in La Scala we did it in concert.
But I'm so happy to hear that finally also people stand in for the music and saying, okay, we say goodbye to the director, but we will save the music. Because I've also heard different.
Especially because at the beginning, they wanted just to do Scandal.
Mm.
It was not something, I mean, if you do something modern that fits with the opera,
right.
I'm okay.
If it's
in an intelligent way to maybe... Yeah. Have an idea.
Sometimes it makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's okay for me. It's okay for me. But when it's something that really is just like porn,
yeah.
okay, do porn you know, there's video, cassette or something, but don't ask me.
Yeah, don't make fun of the music.
No,
and
exactly.
Of the people, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I say, no, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
No, great courage.
They wanted to bring me in the court. Oh, see. And then they stop everything because everybody, and also the chorus canceled. I said, if someone's not free to leave, we can't.
Beautiful.
It was very funny because there was just a, whoa, all the people say, no, she's right.
Great.
But of course, in Germany, they said on the newspaper, went out, free to leave.
Of course,
and
scandal.
I said, I don't care. And Mazel, when I came back and we did it in concert there, and I was Mazel was scared.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And it was fantastic. Even if it was the people just screaming like that, they like it.
It was worth the fight.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
In that period, I was me and Leonucci were the people who scared the theaters much than all the other people in the world.
Yeah.
Because we were. They
fighting
were
for the music.
Fighting for the music because they really did very stupid things.
Yeah.
You know, like Aida, no, Rigoletto. I don't remember where. But I was not there, of course, because I don't sing Rigoletto. There was the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, in Munich. I know.
In Munich, as well. Come on. Also there, there was Ramon Barcas. He canceled.
It was this production.
He left.
Yeah.
He left. I say, no, come on.
Yeah, I know. You know? With Dambrau and Vargas.
See, but
was
why?
I know. It was maybe there for just 2 or 3 years.
But they also did an Otello in the space.
Yeah,
you know, they were all blue.
Everything is possible.
But no, it's not possible. This
of
is unbelievable.
Of course
you
not.
Know?
It's this really sad story. Yeah. I think if we cut down your large repertoire down to only 2 composers, it definitely is Mozart
and Verdi.
So tell us about your journey with both of them. I mean, what's so impressive to me is that even if you're now singing the big Italian repertoire, you still keep Mozart.
See.
Why?
But not so much.
But yes, I can still do it, of course.
But because if you can sing Mozart, you can sing all the other repertoire.
Grazie.
This is the school.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you do Mozart in the right way, I mean, in the simply way possible, in the easiest way possible, you can sing everything else.
Yeah, bravo. Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, okay.
And you still enjoy it. I mean, you have sung Elvira maybe, I don't know how many 100 times.
Also Anna.
Anna also,
also
yeah.
Anna,
Contessa, yeah. many
si,
times
si,
over
si,
the
si.
Years.
Clemenza,
yeah.
Idomeneo.
Do you enjoy
si.
It?
A lot,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah. So even if it's a 100th production of Elvira, you find something which keeps you going.
But I think that the most funny I did, and I did it only once, and I'm sorry for that, but it's nice, is Clemenza.
You did it only once?
Oh, si,
in London, right?
No, I did it at the Met. Ah, see, in London too,
yeah,
twice.
Yeah,
oh, you're
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Oh, you know better than
with
me.
With Kasarova and...
Was it
Netrebko singing Sevilla?
Si.
Yeah.
Bravo.
Yeah.
Si.
Also great. And of course, you did in the Met in the beautiful Ponell stage.
Yeah, exactly. And it was so funny.
I can imagine. Thank you.
grandmother, she ironed,
She was as a profession.
She born in 1910.
Oh, wow.
So, and hers aunts were working in La Scala as tailors when Verdi was there.
Oh, my God.
That time, when I discovered later, because at that time.
Yeah,
and I remember she brings me in front of La Scala once, and I was maybe 8 years old. And she told me, oh, this is La Scala de Milan, because we have a dialect in Milano, no?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
La Scala de Milan, di Milano. And she did a joke that I understand years later, because her name was Ida.
Mm-hmm.
Ida. And she said, and Giuseppe Verdi wrote an opera for me, La Ida. And she started laughing. I say, ah, ha, ha. But I didn't understand, of course, because I didn't know anything about it.
Beautiful.
And that's it, you know.
But so. Also a beautiful connection with your
yeah,
family.
Yeah, could you imagine? Yeah.
So Desdemona, Luisa Milla, Amelia, Elisabetta, but never Traviata, right?
Well, Traviata, the problem of Traviata is that I never had the top, you know, the mi bemolle.
Yeah.
No? Yeah, but that, at that time, when I was young,
okay.
If you didn't have the notes, you cannot sing.
There's no way. Okay,
okay, there was no way.
Yeah.
I tried to say, but I can do this,
yeah.
No? And they say, no. Do you have the mi bemolle? No. Okay, so you cannot
what
do it.
What a pity.
Yeah, and then after years, say, oh, do you want to do it? No, now it's too late because
yeah.
I'm doing Don Carlo. And I mean,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
The voice changed after 20 yeah. years, 30 years. Come on.
Yeah. But I think it's really a pity because I think it would suit you, I mean, optically and also vocally very much.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Then I say, okay, who cares?
Yeah.
That's it.
Who cares? How do you prepare a new role? I mean, you went through the Muti school, so I think mm-hmm. you're very precise, but how...
But I already has an idea how to do it, but then with Muti, of course, was much better. Also because he gave me really the keys to the mm-hmm. interpretation, the most important things. Not the school of learning,
yeah.
but the key to the to do the right interpretation, to
find
the right, the character, yeah. and to find the right role. This is... He's teaching. But the method, I did it before. And I always studied my opera by myself.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you are a great pianist.
No,
so
I'm not a great pianist at all. Never been. I was a pianist, a normal. See, not so much. I was really... No, nah, come
you cannot
on.
Play the score.
See, yeah. but no. I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it. No, it was not my instrument.
Yeah,
at all.
I see.
I was really basic. Thank God I don't have to eat with playing piano.
Yeah.
And that's it. I start reading everything I can find before the libretto.
Mm-hmm.
Why there's this opera? Why the idea comes from which book? With everything, and so I just start from there. Then I read the libretto.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to listen to the music. I just see the
no
score.
Recordings, huh?
No recordings.
Mm-hmm.
No recordings. No. Well, another thing. I didn't have the money to buy anything, so I always study on the score because I didn't have
recordings. Are expensive.
Recordings
yeah,
at
yeah,
that time.
Yeah.
It was impossible. So I used to read the music on a desk with my pencil, the blue and the red and the normal pencil. Fixing everything, looking what all the interaction between the characters, yeah. so I understand exactly yeah. the plot. After that, I start studying the music. And then in the end, I put all together. But I have to have an analysis of everything. Because then you know that sometimes when you're singing and you sing with a person on stage, you have to know which... relation you have with this character. It's also the way you're singing is changing.
I think there's nothing more boring than to see a singer doesn't know what he or she is singing about. You can see
exactly.
immediately in the eyes or in the face.
This is why I never sang an opera in German, for example.
Okay.
Exactly. Because I don't know German.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was young, I studied I used to speak German because my mother put me in a school, in a German school Milano. Yeah, for 1 year. And so I used to speak. But then I forgot it completely because they closed this school and that's it. It was finished. But if I don't understand a language, I cannot sing. Because I cannot be a parrot. I can just mock the people. I cannot do it.
So you mostly sing in Italian, in French?
French, yeah. But I can speak French. I understand really well French.
Yeah. But you closed the borders to Wagner?
Si. Oh, I was invited to...
To the festival?
For Elsa. Wow. I said, Barenboim asked me.
I can imagine it's a beautiful role for
Do you want to do? And I say, wow, I'm really, this is amazing. Yeah, because I know Bayreuth that calls you and say, wow, come on, I was Italian. I say, I don't know what to say, but I had to answer, and it's no.
You're very strict to yourself.
Come on, you go in the sanctuary of Wagner without knowing German?
I mean, I know colleagues of yours doing it.
But I'm not like that. I'm maybe, you know, just a soprano. I'm old school. And if I don't understand everything, sorry. And I am not, don't have time to study.
Yeah. I mean, I totally respect and love your decision.
Integrity. Yeah, I think integrity is more important in this job.
But I think it's pity for all of us that we never will hear a beautiful Elsa out of your mouth.
I did Wesendonck.
You did.
I do Wesendonck. I still singing. I love it.
Yeah. So you have at least a glimpse of.
See, Fielitz the leader of other German things. I sing in German things, but
It's limited.
It's limited because I think it's better. It's just my part, and I know exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm just, my dialogue is with the orchestra and is not with other people. So for me, the interaction has to be very clear in my mind. If I don't have that, I cannot mock it like a chimpanzee.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So what was the worst role offer someone asked you for where you said, no, impossible? Was it this Elsa?
No, but I would like to do it. I love Wagner.
Yeah,
I love Wagner, but I'm too respectful to sing it because I'm sure I know that he loves also the Italian way to sing
it should be so close, but
I don't know. I really I'm scared to don't get the style in the right way and this makes me anxious. Also, when I hear other people singing a special style, not right, I became furious. I say, no, you need to know it.
Like German singers going to...
But
to
not just
Verdi.
German singers. But
no, but for example,
It's not a question. I don't like it.
Yeah.
I want to be sure if I do something, it has to be right. Mm-hmm. If not, I prefer to don't do it.
But what was the worst role offer?
I think it was when I was 27, they asked me Forza. And I just started laughing on the phone. Are you crazy? What? I say, no. And they, you know, put down the telephone, like bomb the theater like this. I say, but they are crazy.
So you had also always a good instinct when to find approach to a role and when not,
Well, I was helped by my teacher.
Yeah, you always
Signora Canetti, and she's still teaching and she's still smart. She's a great teacher.
Yeah.
And everything they asked me, but that one was so clear, the clearer that I cannot sing it. And I just start laughing. But for other things, I always asked her.
Yeah. So was there a role which you regret, like singing it once and then say, no, it's not for me?
Tosca.
It's Tosca, yeah.
I did Tosca. Well, because I did it in 3 days. Mm-hmm. Probably I was scared.
Because it was this concert performance without
rehearsal. And I studied, but, you know, you need it. And again, I said, well, you were right. Frittoli. You were right. We need to do rehearsal.
Just need the
we
time.
We need the time. No, I didn't do bad things, but it can be better. I was not sure. Why I did it. Okay.
Yeah. That was an experience. Now you know.
Exactly.
And one last thing I would like to talk about. You also mentioned it. You are a teacher.
Yeah.
So how does it feel for you with all your experience to now influence the next generations? Tell us.
Well, I'm a teacher because my pianist, Mzia Bakhturidze, she's Georgian, she pushed me to teach. Mm-hmm. Say, if you don't teach, who else can do it? I say, well, I don't know what to say. So I tried, but you know, the first masterclass I did, there was my masterclass and a masterclass from an how do you say otorino laryngoiatra? I think the people understand. Yeah, and I did my master and I went to hear him, and it was a friend of mine. Of course, I knew him. Yeah. And so from there, I start talking with him. I say, I would like to say this to the people. And we start studying away because I say I'm scared to teach. Because the voice, I cannot see the voice, you know. Maybe the people doesn't think about these things, but our voice is inside us. We don't see our instrument, and the teacher cannot see also your instrument. So this is why I start talking with this person, with this doctor, and because I want to be sure to don't harm the people. Because I heard, you know, I knew many people start singing and then stop singing abruptly because the voices were completely ruined, and by the wrong
teacher.
And by the wrong also repertoire.
Mm-hmm.
So
you have so much responsibility.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
You have really something precious and very, very weak and sensible in your hands.
Yeah.
So you need to do it in the best way possible without strength, because I always try to sing and I also try to make the people sing just on the breath,
mm-hmm.
and just on the more natural voice you can have. Because with that you can work, you can build a lot of colors, and they will be your colors, a personal one. Without, you know, without changing your voice.
Or copying someone.
Or copy. Yeah. Well, you can copy somebody, especially at the beginning, because it's how, you know, also the little children.
Yeah, sometimes it's important to copy in itself.
You know, at the beginning. And then you have to find yourself.
Because sometimes you can also copy the bad things.
Yeah, exactly. And you have to know exactly what is a good thing and what is a bad thing.
Right.
And try to give to these people to make them believe that they have the truth in their hands.
Yeah.
It's not just from the teacher. The teacher has to guide you to find your voice.
You give the key.
Exactly. Yeah. Not to make him singing like you.
Yeah.
This is what I say. I say to many people, okay, I do this.
Yeah.
But you want something different? Okay, do it. But you had to convince me that it's the right things.
Yeah.
And you can do a phrase in many different ways, but I had to be convinced.
Right. So how many years are you teaching now? When did you start?
It's maybe 4 years now.
4 years. It's that fresh for you.
Yeah. Yes.
And how does it influence you as a person, as a singer? Does it, is it now like it changes also you as a singer, that you are now a teacher as well?
My problem is now, before I never had this problem, but now when I heard all the other people singing with me, I listening not only as a colleagues, but sometimes as a teacher, and I had to refrain me to say something. I just think, shut up, you cannot do it, you cannot do it. But if they ask me, say, oh yes, I have something to say.
Oh, if you ask.
If you ask, I
already
can
have
do
a list,
it.
Oh, that's great, I think you cannot separate it,
No, and you know, when you sing with people who sing well, you sing well there too. You sing better.
Yeah, totally. So, is yours a dream job? Would you advise young singers to become a professional opera singer?
I think you had to love the music, of course, but you also had to know that you had to be to learn the discipline. And I think now the young people sometimes forget that this the discipline in each work, not only in our job, is very important.
Right.
You can be an artist. I mean, it means strange. It's okay. It's okay. But you need to be to have a discipline if you want to study in the right way. For me.
And this is what you're missing sometimes when you see the younger generation.
See, because they just sing. And I say, come on, why are you doing like that? And I explain. I remember to a girl start singing, you know, the Estrano. Estrano. For this page and a half, 2 pages of recitativo, we spent an hour talking. At the end, she start crying. And she say, it's amazing. This is really this, only 2 pages.
She was overwhelmed by what is possible
to... the possibility to change. And I explained all this story I invented. This is what is, for me, is her, is Violetta in that moment. That recitative is so important. And I remember at the end she started crying. Say, my God, I never thought about that. Yes, you had to think. And then you will be an actress on stage. And you can be an actress with your voice.
Yeah, right. So we are lucky that you are one of those teachers preparing the new
generation. I hope, I mean, the people, till now, they are very happy. I'm called everywhere. So
not bad.
No, it's funny.
You do master classes
a lot. I do special master classes because I don't have so many students by myself because I'm always around.
Traveling and
it's
impossible.
Difficult. Yes, it's difficult,
I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for this beautiful interview, for all
thank
the
you.
Advices you're giving us and the insights of
this
your
is what
great
I think.
Career.
Thank you.
It's a big, big pleasure. All the best for you, also for your last Così fan tutte here in Berlin.
Oh, yeah, after a week I will fall asleep on stage probably.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye, thank you.
Im Fang,